Hello everybody, this is Osho Radio. Feeling
protecting my freedom, mother. Sometimes I'd like to be a bird, or maybe a tree, to be released from this human responsibility. 'Cause man has gone astray, lost all integrity. We keep hurting ourselves and anything else that comes within our means to recharge us. Put away your weapons for pain. Make this earth growing. Open your heart, open your hands. Oh, or do we have to wait until all the beauty is gone to see that living is one, is one.
The discourse today is from a series called Zen Zest Zip Zap and Zing, number 9. Somebody asks Osho, India seems to be a country without any laws. What is your vision about this? All this Osho is explaining comes out of her repressed attitude, a repressed society. India is showing a beautiful face, a very spiritual face, and has been doing this for a long time. But underneath, real feelings are being suppressed. And even now, today, as India is a free country, a democracy, it doesn't seem to know how to handle that freedom. The only way out of this situation, Osho says, is to break completely with the past.
Thank you. the Indian mind is programmed to be a slave. It is not ready to function in freedom. That's where the roots of the problems are. 22 centuries of slavery have given a certain conditioning to the Indian mind. It understands only one language, the language of the jungle. For 200 years, the English people ruled India and found them very law-abiding. Lawlessness was never a problem before the British Raj. But these 33 years of freedom have seen India falling apart, becoming a chaos. Something which looks strange if you don't understand the root causes. The root cause is that freedom is absolutely strange to the Indian programming. India needs a totally different kind of government. Democracy is an imported idea. The second thing to remember is that India has lived in a very repressive way. The cause lies in the phony morality. If people have lived with repression, then whenever there is some freedom, that repressed energy starts uncoiling. Any energy repressed, sooner or later is going to take revenge. Whenever there will be a chance, an opportunity for the energy to explode, it will explode. Once the pressure on the lid is removed, then the lid is going to be thrown by all the repressed vapor inside. And India has lived longest under moral repression. So people are boiling within. They talk about morality, but they go on raping women. They respect the saints, but they go on murdering, butchering. They go on talking about God, moksha, nirvana, truth, yoga, devotion, prayer, beautiful words. But if you look at their life, all that they do is destructive. India is not a creative country. No repressed society can be creative. The repressed society is afraid of creativity. Because creativity means expression. It is against repression. It is just the polar opposite. So Indians have double faces. One face to wear the Indian mind is full of sexuality, full of anger, full of hatred, talking about love, talking about compassion, talking about non-violence. But don't be deceived by their talks. Their talk simply shows just the opposite inside them. Everywhere in the country, every day, I think nothing like this is happening anywhere in the world. People are burnt alive. Women are raped everywhere. Mass rape. Many women die just because so many people rape them. They fall dead. And the Mahatmas of the country go on talking about celibacy. And the same Mahatmas are being caught in doing all kinds of criminal acts. The saints go on talking about non-attachment, non-possessiveness. And you will not find more greedy people than these. They are greedy for pleasures into the other world. And here too, they are greedy. But in a roundabout way. They will not collect the money for themselves. They will collect the money for the temple. And they are the real owners of the temple. You will be surprised to know that even the stone statues in the temples, own land, what a tricky mind. The priest owns the land. For example, the priest of the Bodh Gaya temple, where Gautam Buddha became enlightened. Even that temple is dominated by Hindus. It does not belong to the Hindus. Buddha became enlightened. The temple was made in his memory. He was a rebel. He was not a Hindu. But the priest of the temple is a Brahmin. He is not a Buddhist. Brahmins are very cunning. And the god of the temple owns thousands of acres of land. Now the priest goes to the court on behalf of the god of the temple. Now, you cannot take that land and distribute it into the landless poor people. Because how can you take the land from the gods? And the priest cannot give it to you. He is just on behalf of the gods working there. He is not the owner. And the owner is just a stone statue. It cannot sign an agreement. You cannot put the statue into the jail. You cannot do anything. For 33 years, the battle has continued in the courts. But the courts cannot do anything. There exists no law how to take the land from a stone statue. And the same is true about thousands of temples in the country. And the priest will go on talking about greedlessness. He will teach to people that don't be greedy. Donate to the temple. Greed is not good. If you donate to the temple, you will gain thousandfold in the other world. And whatsoever they donate to the temple, is really donated to the priest. He is the real owner. But he is dominating via a stone statue. All kinds of things go on happening in India. For the simple reason that the country lacks character. Character in my sense. Character that arises as a byproduct of consciousness. India is absolutely characterless. But what they think is character, they go on bringing about it all around the world, that they are very religious, very moral, and that is sheer nonsense. I have seen their morality, I have seen their character, it is bogus. It is just painted. And when you have a painted face, your face can show just any opportunity. I was a professor in a university. One of the professors wanted to come to see me with his wife, but he turned up alone. I asked what happened to her wife. She was to come, and she was so eager to come. He said, "There is a trouble. When we came out, it started raining, so she had to go back." I said, "But if you could come, why she has not come? It is not raining so much, just a little bit. It is not so much, you don't seem to be totally wet." The professor said, "You know my wife, she paints her face so much that just few drops of water were enough to expose her real face, so she had to go back. Her makeup got lost. People go on deceiving in many ways. But nothing much is wrong if you have a painted face. But if you have a painted soul, much is lost. Maybe in the West, people are more interested in painting the body. In India, they are more interested in painting the soul, which is far worse. Painting the face is nothing much. Face, after all, is not you. But the soul, the inner being, if you paint it, just a little scratch, and the reality will show. And any opportunity, you are not going to lose the opportunity. Beware of the person who has been forcing himself to be a celibate. He can be a rapist any moment. Indian mind is repressive, and a repressive mind is dangerous. On the first hand, it will not be creative, because it cannot be expressive. It will be afraid of expression. Secondly, it is boiling with too much repressed energy, which will explode. Any weak moment, any available opportunity, and it cannot miss it. And how long you can pretend? You cannot pretend 24 hours. Sometimes you have to rest and relax too. The moment you rest and relax, you have to put your character by the side. Otherwise it keeps you uptight the whole time. Indians are very uptight. But they have been thinking that this is what religion is all about. India has done almost a miraculous job of 5,000 years of suppression. Now for the first time India has become free, democratic. Hence the anarchy, the chaos, the lawlessness. But in a way, this is good. It shows the reality, the authentic reality of Indian mind, its character, its morality, its so-called religion, its spirituality. All that garbage is exposed for the first time. In that sense, it is good. Now we have to make a totally new kind of India. The past has failed. 5,000 years of work has gone down the drain. A little freedom has exposed everything. So now there is no need to go on doing the same again. We can start learning a new language. That's what my work is here, to give you a new language of expression, of creativity, of transforming your energies from the lower to the higher, from the baser metal towards gold. This school is an alchemical school. My sannyasins are alchemists, and this alchemy has to be spread, not only in this country, but all over the world. But this country needs immensely more than anybody else. You ask me, why is India drifting towards lawlessness? It is its true character, its reality. It is not drifting towards lawlessness. It is simply exposing itself. It is dropping its hypocrisy. The freedom has given a great chance to see ourselves as we are, naked. The freedom has become a mirror. Now we have to think again. Our whole past is useless. This is a shock, but much can be learned from this failure. A revolution can happen. Characters should not be imposed anymore, but consciousness should be helped to grow. And if consciousness is helped to grow soon, this lawlessness will disappear. And an inner discipline will arise. For that to happen, India needs a certain society, a certain atmosphere for the transitory period. Democracy should be put aside. For the transitory period, a presidential form of government with more dictatorial power than the American president has will be of immense help. But that power has not to be used to impose the same old character, no need to commit the same mistake again. That power has to be used to deprogram people from the past and to give them a taste of consciousness, a taste of awareness. They have to be helped to become more individual, but democracy will not be able to do it. It will simply lead India into more and more chaos. Remember perfectly well that India has never been a nation. It is a vast country. And it has always been many nations, never one nation. If it drifts into lawlessness, it will start falling apart. It will become small pieces. In Gautam Buddha's time, there were 2,000 kingdoms in India, 2,000 countries. Now, if lawlessness becomes a little more, chaos spreads a little more, India will start falling apart. Punjab will like to have its own Sikhistan, the kingdom of the Sikhs. The South India would like to separate from the North India. The Bengalis would not like to live with the non-Bengalis. The Hindi-speaking people will not like to live with the non-Hindi-speaking people. The Maharashtrians would like to have their own independent country. In fact, it is strange. The very name is strange. Rashtra means nation. Maharashtra means a great nation. Now, this is the only country in the world. The country is only a nation. And in the nation, there is a province with the name of the great nation. A small nation, and within it a great nation. You see the stupidity of it. The Gujarat would like to have its own. India can fall and become at least 30 countries very easily. It is a subcontinent. And Indians are very quarrelsome. Always they have been fighting with each other. That has been very destructive in the past because their energies were lost. Small armies came and conquered India for the simple reason. Because India was never a nation. For the first time again, it is a nation. Just as for the first time it is a democracy. And for the first time really free. These are great opportunities. They can be used. But democracy can prove fatal. Democracy is beautiful. A rose flower. But you have to prepare the bed. You cannot grow roses in the desert. And that's what we have been trying for these 33 years. I believe absolutely in democracy. That's why I say a little bit of dictatorial preparation will be good. For the flower of democracy. Dictatorship has to be used as a means. The end remains democracy. Hence, dictatorship has to be used in such a way that it can be dropped any moment. And the best way is to create a presidential system according to the Indian context. Create law, but not enforced, but teach people the beauty of lawfulness, the beauty of understanding each other, the beauty of not encroaching on each other's space. In India, everybody is ready to encroach on everybody's space. Nobody respects anybody else's territorial imperative. This is the problem my sannyasins are facing every day. If two sannyasins are moving hand in hand, every Indian is against it. They are not doing anything to those people. They are not doing any harm to anybody. If two persons are lovingly holding hands or hugging each other, it should not be anybody's business. You should not interfere in it. In fact, if two persons are fighting, a crowd gathers to see and enjoys it. But if two persons kiss each other, then people are very angry. People seem to be set against love and life, and they are all for destruction. Anything beautiful is hated. Anything ugly is enjoyed, indulged in. In Indian films, kissing is not allowed, but murder is allowed. You can see the point. I will allow kissing, I will not allow murder. Ugliness cannot be tolerated. Beauty should be respected. Beauty is the greatest divine quality in existence. Beauty is the face of God. But ugliness is evil. Lawlessness is ugly. And lawfulness imposed from the outside is also ugly. They are two extremes of the same phenomenon. I would like a totally different kind of morality, law, discipline that arises from your own innermost source. And when it can happen, why we should go on depending on outer formal things? When the real is possible, why go on remaining with the plastic and the false? Indians have been moralistic out of fear and greed. Fear of the hell, greed of heavenly pleasures. This is not real morality. I don't believe in any hell and heaven. Destroy the idea of hell and heaven and then be moral. Then your morality is an end unto itself. Then it has a duty. Then it is not out of fear. Then it is not for any motive. You are doing something good because you enjoy doing it. But people have lived in fear. God is also nothing but their projection of fear. That's why in all the languages of the world, we have words like God-fearing. This is an ugly word. We use it synonymous with the religious. And the religious person is never God-fearing. He is God-loving. But we call religious persons God-fearing. Fear has nothing to do with religion at all. Fear is anti-religious. Love is religion. But the idea of God that we have carried all along is just to create fear. It is not the true vision. God simply means the loving energy of existence. India is suffering from its own past, its philosophies, its sins, its scriptures, its religion, its morality. Unless we disconnect ourselves totally from the past, there is no hope. A drastic revolution is needed. An absolute disconnection, a discontinuity, less than that won't do.
Thank you.
The music you listen to today in Osho Radio was by Sattva Richa by Maniko. There was some music from the world of Osho, The Grass Grows by Itself, beautiful flute music, and you heard Satsang music from the period that Osho was in America. We're going to finish with some live music called Melting. So, everybody, turn up the volume and dance. Osho Radio wishes you a happy week and take good care of yourself and each other. Bye-bye and namaste.